to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but we also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, you and I, we're just getting used to this remote recording. We're doing our best, but it's good to connect with you again here in the middle of this week.
It's good to be with our podcast listeners. Each week, we're trying a different format, trying to make the sound as best as we can for you. And hopefully, as we progress with this separation we're in, we'll get this worked out just in time to get back together. So
I miss our nice studio. You know, we've been working on that for a long time, and we just got it broken in, and we're away from it for a little while, but we'll get back to it in good time, we trust. Roger, you had the privilege of preaching this past Sunday, and I really appreciated in the midst of all that is going on, you drew our eyes and our minds to the top of the list. What matters most to God? And you used Philippians chapter 3 as your key text. One of the things that stood out to me as I watched and listened to that sermon was this idea of knowing Christ. That struck me that the Apostle Paul, of course, he describes himself in another context as someone who was born out of due season. Maybe he was a little younger than, let's say, Peter or James or John. He obviously didn't start out as a fisherman on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He had an elite education and for a very long time believed that Jesus was an imposter, and that anyone who followed Jesus was a blasphemer, worthy of maybe even being tortured, perhaps as far as being put to death for professing this Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah. And yet, Paul comes to know Christ. And you read carefully his letter to the Philippians, and he wants his readers to come to know Christ. Let me just read and refresh our listeners on a couple of those key verses from Philippians 3. I'm looking, first of all, at verse 7, where Paul says, "Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." He goes on to describe how he had suffered the loss of a variety of different things, counted them now as, I think you liked the sewer trash translation. And he circles back in verse 10 to, "I'm doing this that I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection." What a powerful thing for us to think about here in the middle of the week, knowing Jesus. What stands out to you as you reflect on that, Roger?
Well, that's a great phrase. Sometimes even in relationships in life, somebody will say, "Well, this person really doesn't know me." And I think it's good for us to kind of explore that expression. What does it mean to know Jesus Christ? And is it possible for us to know him? So today, in preparing for this, I looked at my New Testament, the one I used to preach with, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. That's the story of Jesus. My New Testament is 196 pages. That's it. So in 196 pages, can I know this person? You and I can read a biography of Abe Lincoln, And it'll give us all kinds of details about his life and everything. But when we finish the book, we may think, do I really know Abe Lincoln? Do I know what made him tick? Do I really understand him? And so when we think about that concept, here we have 196 pages that tell the story of Jesus. Is it possible for us to know Jesus? And that's where I want to kind of begin today as we kind of think about these things. And first of all, I think it is possible. I think that's the point Paul's making in Philippians 3, that he came to know Jesus. Now, Paul saw Jesus in a vision, but he didn't spend the 3 years like Peter, James, and John did. He didn't see all the miracles. He didn't hear the Sermon on the Mount. So there's a lot of what Paul had is the same thing you and I have. And that's the recorded word about Jesus. And so when we look at this gospel, what we're going to talk about is what does God tell us about Jesus? And it's interesting, at the end of John tells us that if all the things Jesus did were recorded, the world could not hold the number of books. And sometimes we think, well, I wish I had all that so I would know him. But God has given us enough that we can know him. And so I thought what we would do is we kind of look at, through the Gospels, some attributes that God tells us about Jesus, who he is. And from that, we can know Jesus. So, you got a thought you want to begin with, or you want me to just jump in?
Let's jump right in. Yes, go right ahead.
All right. So one of the first things we learn is we learn of the nature of Jesus. John chapter 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word is God. Jesus did not begin on earth. He began in heaven. He is eternal. He is God. He is equal to the Father. And so when I try to grasp this idea, who is Jesus? My thoughts don't begin with a baby in Bethlehem. My thoughts begin with the eternal God. God came to earth. And that's where we begin, and that's where we kind of get this understanding who Jesus is. From that, we talk about his authority. In Matthew chapter 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And my Sunday morning class, Walking Through the Miracles, that's what Jesus demonstrated. You could not put the word impossible on Jesus. He could go to a cemetery and talk to a dead person, and they would come out, like John 11 and Lazarus. Incurable diseases like leprosy, they would go away. Demons would bow in reverence to him because they understood that he could do anything. So when I look at the Gospels and God wants me to know Jesus, who is he? He's God on earth. He is capable of doing anything because he has all authority. Onward we go. Another attribute we could put down here. We understand from the Gospels why he came. There are TV shows called The Undercover Boss, where a CEO of a big company kind of disguises himself and he takes on an entry-level job just to see what goes on at the corporation. Jesus didn't do that. He already knew in heaven what was going on. He didn't just do a walkthrough on earth just to see how citizens of the planet are doing. He didn't just spend a weekend here. He became a man. He became a man. He grew up like we grow up. He faced what we faced. But his mission was to seek and to save that which was lost. He came knowing about the cross. He came knowing that he was going to die upon the cross. So when we think about who is this Jesus, can I know him? God has defined who he is, why he came. He came to save us from our sins. Then we could talk about how God describes Jesus. He was the compassionate Savior. There he is, not just hobnobbing with the best of society. He's not at banquets. He's not being led around in limos and just, you know, with the movers and shakers of society. He's with outcasts. He's with publicans. He's with tax collectors. Some of the charges against him was that he was spending time with these people. But why he did that was because he had a heart. God tells us that he loves us. How do we know that? He sent Jesus. And Jesus shows us his compassion upon the sick, his compassion upon the lost, his compassion upon you and I. And so when I look at the Gospels, who is Jesus? He's somebody who cares. And how do I know that? That's how God wants me to know him and to see that. We see within the Gospels the heart of Jesus. We see that he interacted with others. He was interested in others. He loved other people. Then through the Gospels, we see what God has a plan for you and I. And that plan includes Jesus. God made us not just to do whatever we wanted. God didn't make us just so we can get as much money as we can. God made us so we could spend eternity with him. God made us to be connected to him. So when we put all that together and we kind of look at that, I mean, even though my New Testament has 196 pages, that's enough for me to know Jesus. And that's what God wanted me to see.
It is an absolutely remarkable chain from the mind, the heart of our Father in heaven to Jesus, this amazing link in the chain where Jesus is able to say, after a couple of years walking amongst these disciples, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. But then there's another link in that chain now. You referenced the conclusion of John's gospel, how John has written what he has written so that we might know. It's interesting, while you were rehearsing some of those things that the gospel teaches us, I just entered into my search engine as far as what's in the Bible, the phrase, that you may know. And it just shows up all over the New Testament. So we've got this chain from God the Father to Jesus to the scriptures that have been preserved now for 2,000 years. And here we are talking about them in the middle of the week. But as we talk about them and read them and open our hearts up to them, we are entering into this vehicle that helps us know someone we have never seen in the flesh with our own eyes, never heard with our own ears. But Paul, I mean, let me just mention a couple of them. Ephesians 1, verse 18, he says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which you have been called. Ephesians 3:19, you can know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. He says to the Philippians in Philippians 1:9, it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge. To the Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer. It just goes on and on and on, all the way to 1 John, I mean, is just full of this knowing language. And if we trace it all the way to 1 John 5:13, he says, I'm writing these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. I mean, that is a remarkable chain from God the Father to Jesus to the scriptures that we read and respond to. And if we do that, an inspired apostle goes so far as to say, you can know you have eternal life. That's incredible.
And what's so impressive about that is that by God putting this, recording this in scriptures, we all know the same thing. We all have the same impression. Okay. We've heard before about people who are one way in the public, one way in the private, or they're two-faced. They're one way, there was some people one way or the other. And so if it was feeling based, okay, you may get this impression of Jesus. I know Jesus this way. Well, I may know Jesus this way, but because it's a written, recorded message, we all know Jesus the same way.
Great observation.
That leads us to this unity of faith. This is why the scriptures would talk about being of one mind, of one voice, because we stand upon the same thing, and that's the one faith of the gospel. Now,
let me take this a step further. The blessing then of knowing him. When I thought about, okay, once the door opens up, and you've done a great job just kind of walking us through the Gospels, what we can know about him, what sort of blessings open up? I thought of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Paul is writing this very personal section of his second letter to the Corinthians, and he says in verse 8, we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. What an amazing perspective that we don't even know all of the affliction that he's describing here, but because of the Jesus whom he had come to know, he looks at one of the darkest periods of his life and he's able to say, this led me to rely on Jesus even more. Maybe that's something that someone listening to this podcast needs to hear right now in the midst of, you know, days that none of us have ever experienced before. When you know Jesus, even the most difficult times and circumstances can cause you to rely on the Jesus that you know.
The word I think we would use would be trust. We can trust Jesus. And again, how can I trust somebody whom I've never met? It's because I know him. I know him. And he stands behind his promises. He stands behind what he has done. Jesus, again, is not two-faced. He doesn't treat some people one way and some people. The Jesus of today is a Jesus of the Gospels. And so if Jesus was walking through the streets of Southern Indiana right now, he would be the same as he was in the Gospels. That's the Jesus I can trust. And somebody can say, well, how can you say that? Because I know him. And that makes all the difference. Because we trust him, then we can follow him. We know where he's leading us. We know, we don't know tomorrow, but he's already in tomorrow. We have just a few sentences here and there about heaven, but we can believe that heaven is wonderful because it's his home. And, you know, somebody can say, well, I'm just not sure. We can be sure. Why? Because we know Jesus. And then
we understand. I didn't mean to cut you off there. We understand the best way to come to know somebody is to spend time with them. I just think of our relationship. I I've known you since I was a very young teenager, but I say that. What I mean by that is I knew of you. You lived in Greenwood when my family moved to Central Indiana when I was 15 years old. And so I knew of you. And over the years, you had come and held different gospel meetings in cities where I lived. But I didn't really come to know you. I still like you, incidentally. I didn't really come to know you, though, until we started spending significant time together. But you come to know each other, and you trust each other. You rely on each other. You depend on, and you enhance the efforts of one another. Same thing in our relationship with Jesus. If I haven't really spent time with Jesus since early March in a church building, I don't really have a relationship with him. But how amazing that through this living and abiding word of God, today, Wednesday morning or afternoon or evening, I can open that up and get to know him by spending time with him.
Now, there's another side of this. I guess we could say the other side of the coin. And this frightens some people. As Paul talked about knowing Jesus, and I believe we can know him so much we would change our lives. We do what he wants us to do. But the other side of the coin is he knows me. He knows you. And I think that very thought keeps some people from worshiping him and following him. You know, if God really knew what I was like, he wouldn't like me. But God does. God already knows. You know, you and I can do some things and we didn't know about. We say, wow, I didn't know that about you. There's nothing you can do that's going to surprise God. There's nothing you can do to shock God. God's never going to say, wow, I didn't know that about you. He knows, and he still loves you, and he still wants you. And so this is really a dual relationship. I know Jesus, and he knows me. And like any relationship, the more you get to know each other, the better it gets, the richer it gets. And I think that's, again, some of the concepts that we bring out throughout the scriptures.
Yeah, maybe a good way to round this little discussion off is to think about how not only is he inviting us to know him, and he knows exactly where we've been. You know, he interacted with all sorts of people. You think of the woman at the well in John 4. He knew her marriage situation. He knew the man she was living with was not her husband. And yet he invited her, just as he invites all of us, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can come to know him. The more we know him, the more we trust him, that we can rely on him. And the more we come to know him, the more we find rest for our souls.
There's a story I got to throw in here. This is when Jesus was at the home of Simon, and a woman came in and she started to cry and wash Jesus' feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. And Simon said to himself, if he knew what sort of person this was, Jesus did. Jesus did. And Jesus didn't stop her. And so you need to understand, we all need to understand that God wants us to be with him. And there's times in our lives we may be in the wilderness, and we may be where the prodigal's at. But God still loves us, and God still wants us to be with him. He knows you, and we need to know him.
That is the invitation available to everybody. And, you know, we've been mentioning it a lot over the course of the last few weeks. Lots of people have lots of time on their hands, and if we're not careful, we fill it with things that don't promote rest. This rest that we're talking about, this hope that we talked about last Wednesday, Nothing wrong with being informed with the news, but there's a better rest that Jesus offers. The rest is not found in the vanity of social media. It's not found in the lust of pornography. It's not on buying something new on Amazon. There are a lot of hearts that are weary right now, and rest isn't down the road of temptation. It's in Jesus. And so thank you for that sermon from Sunday, from Philippians chapter 3, this idea of knowing Jesus and the power of his resurrection. That last phrase points us to, I think, what you have in mind for this coming Sunday morning.
Well, this Sunday for the world is Easter. For the disciple of God, every Sunday is Resurrection Day. But since that's the time so many people focus on that, we're going to talk about lessons from the cross, at the cross. It's one of our hymns we sing, at the cross, at the cross. And so we'll be looking at some things along that line, some things about the resurrection, about us, and again, trying to show us the truth of the gospel as we look at these things.
All of it will be available at charlestownroad.org. We're continuing to teach adult Bible classes, and so a brand new quarter has started. It's not too late at all for you to get caught up. We'll have classes as usual, Sunday and Wednesday. A little bit of a different setup, but you and I are still teaching. We have downloadable material. People can continue to grow and know Jesus. It has never been more important, I believe, than to continue to share these resources. A lot of people are looking for answers. They're looking for comfort and perspective and coming up empty. We have the truth. Let's be sharing that truth. Roger, I appreciate you joining me today and appreciate all of our listeners taking the time to listen to This Week at Charlestown Road. We're already looking forward to Sunday. It's the best day of the week. We would love to have you go to charlestownroad.org, take advantage of those resources, and grow with us. Thanks for listening today.